Here we go. We're talking about a hymn for the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is Good Shepherd Sunday. And the hymn is, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Ian Bradley writes, I think I am on safe ground in asserting that more hymns have been based on the 23rd Psalm than on any other. This paraphrase of the psalm by Henry Baker, who died in 1877, is one of the most acclaimed. And yes, his last name is Baker, but he's not related to me, Tom Baker. Following the tradition of fellow Englishman Isaac Watts, and before him Martin Luther, Baker, sympathetic to the Tractarian movement in the Church of England, parts company with the strict versification of the Psalter advocated by the Calvinist tradition among Anglicans to present a paraphrase of Psalm 23 that allows for the poetry of the English language and, more important, emphasizes Christ and the gospel in the psalm. In Baker's setting, the rod and staff of the psalm become the cross of Christ. The overflowing cup becomes a chalice in the sacrament of the altar. The psalm's shepherd becomes a good shepherd, Jesus of John chapter 10. The text of Baker's paraphrase of Psalm 23 emphasizes the trust with which the Christian faithful live. Yet Baker makes evident that trust is never free-flowing. It lives or dies on the basis of the object of such trust. Dietrich Bonhoeffer notes, trust in God without Christ is empty and without certainty. Indeed, it can only be another form of self-trust. But whoever knows that God has entered into our suffering in Jesus Christ himself may say with great confidence, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the hymn of the day for Easter 4, the 3-year series. I'm Tom Baker, and with me is Pastor Mark Smith to help us take a look at this. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. What do you think of it, Mark?
Oh, it's a great hymn. I think that was interesting where you said that Baker thinks of the rod and staff as the cross. I've never thought of the rod and staff that way, but you know that's an interesting point. I know the rod and staff have different uses. One is guiding and one is protecting.
Yes. You know, in the Calvinist tradition, you would never write a hymn on the Psalms without being an exact quote of the Psalms. Mm-hmm. But this is a paraphrase that Martin Luther also did with his hymns. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's got some great theology to it. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. If you would do verse 1, please.
Gladly. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never, I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever.
Now, in a sermon, are we not really trying to get people to realize that if you are in Christ, then you do not lack anything?
That's right.
But people don't realize that, do they?
No. Let's see. How does it go if you're the wealthiest man in the world, but without Christ, you are really the poorest man in the world? But if you're the poorest man in the world, but you have Christ, you are by far the wealthiest.
Well said. Well said. And so, in a sermon, we often will be talking about how people believe that they are lacking various things. But because they have faith in Jesus, what does it mean they really lack nothing?
Well, I think of that passage, that old reliable passage, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If you are a Christian, if you have Christ, you cannot lose, no matter what befalls you, no matter what misfortune, and the world, of course, will never get this. They'll never see that. But we know that if we have Christ, no matter what befalls us, whatever happens to us, it will all work out. Even death itself will work out for our ultimate good.
And that is what the second line says, whose goodness faileth never. That would be a quote from Romans 8.
Right.
All right, I'll read stanza 2. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Now, what part of the psalm is this talking about?
I have to recite the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
There it is. My ransomed soul, he leadeth me where streams of living water flow. Why is that important for sheep?
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think. Do they prosper better with flowing water or water that's still?
Water that's still.
Okay.
Because flowing water, if it's too much of a river, it will get involved with their wool and drown them.
Right, right.
Now, we often ask this, where the verdant pastures grow. What does that mean?
Verdant is rich green. Lush green is what verdant means.
Yes. And will that occur after Judgment Day, or does that occur here on earth before the Day of Judgment?
I would say here on earth, already on earth, yes.
Exactly. Particularly at funerals, you're fed the Word of God, and that's where streams of living water flow. What else would we talk about living water?
Well, he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well about water that will well up unto eternal life. She came for the regular well water, but he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me, and I would give you living water.
And what is that living water he told to Nicodemus about?
baptism, the gospel.
That's it. That's the stream of living water. My ransomed soul he leadeth. Ransom means that we have been bought out of slavery. We were in the kingdom of Satan. We are no longer there. We're in the kingdom of God. Even though stanza 3 has something to say that is important, if you would read that.
Yes. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Here Jesus includes, with the 23rd Psalm, he includes that picture from Luke 15 of the lost sheep that strayed from the flock,
right,
couldn't find his way back, and the good shepherd hoists this adult sheep. It's not a little lamb. It's an adult sheep up on his shoulders. Whether he was infested with thorns or manure or whatever, hoists him up on his shoulders and carries him back to the flock.
And he did that because the sheep deserved it?
No, it was pure grace.
Yeah,
I've been told that sheep tend to be kind of stupid.
Yes.
Or dumb. And once they wander off, I've been told they really can't find their way back. That's the point of that Luke 15 story. They can't retrace their steps. They just don't have that judgment and sense. And so they have to be sought out and carried back.
And the motivation for Jesus to do that, but yet in love he sought me. Was it the love of the sheep, or what love is being talked about there?
That's a good question. Let's see. But yet in love he sought me. I would say his love for lost souls, lost sheep.
Exactly.
In fact, I've heard it said, if you were the only lost person in the world, Christ would have done everything that he did for all humankind. He would have done that for you alone.
Exactly. And what's that famous Bible verse? God first
so loved the world. What?
God first
loved us.
Loved us. And that's why we love him.
Yeah, we love because he first loved us.
Really different. Really different.
Yes.
All right. Stanza 4, please.
In death's dark veil, I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me.
Okay. In death's dark veil. What's the dark veil?
Well, the dark veil, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what it says in the Psalm 23.
Yes.
So it's, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death.
Notice, it's in the shadow of death. It's
yes.
Not in death, because death has been defeated at the
yes.
cross.
It's been reduced to a shadow. The sting has been taken out of death.
Excellent.
You can see why this psalm is always good to use at the hospital or where somebody's, where death is always a possibility. I mean, a person may be near death, or if he's not near death, he needs to know that whatever happens to him that day or any time, if death does touch him, nevertheless, his good shepherd leads him safely through that valley of the shadow of death.
Because it says in the verse, the Lord beside me.
Yes.
How did he get beside me?
Well, he became incarnate. He took on human flesh and came to this earth.
Right. And how was the relationship made so that he was beside me?
Well, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us even now. The only difference is we can't see him. And someday we will indeed see him on the last day. But he's with us nevertheless right now.
And this is the verse, what does the rod and staff turn into?
The cross. I've never, you know, it's never dawned on me to think of the rod and staff as being crossed into the form of the cross. But I think that's your introduction has helped in that regard.
Exactly. All right, I'll read verse 5. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. What is that referring to in Psalm 23?
It's referring to the Lord's Supper. How does Psalm 23 go again? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
My
cup overfloweth.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the cup.
It's plainly referring to the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, now, you've got a word there that might be necessary to explain to children. Thine unction grace bestoweth. What's unction mean?
Unction would be an anointment.
Well said. And we're anointed by the body and blood of Christ.
Right. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's present there too in the supper.
Yes. Now, this also refers to what happens after the day of judgment.
Let's see. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. You're talking about when we feast in that new heaven and new earth?
Right. That feast will be with Jesus.
Right.
And the Father.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit.
Yes, as well as all the saints.
And notice what it says. And oh, what transport of delight. What does that mean?
Transport would be like, it's like when we say, lift up your hearts. Prior to the Lord's Supper, lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord.
Exactly. And so this is a transport. What does a transport do?
In this case, it lifts us up. What a transport, of course, transports us.
We're talking about transportation.
Yes.
And so we're transported from what to what?
From earth to heaven.
Exactly. Really, really important. And that transport of delight flows from thy pure chalice. Now, what does the word chalice mean?
Chalice is the cup.
Yes. All right. Stanza 6, please.
Okay. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
That's the difference between law and gospel. The world thinks that our goodness never fails because of our good works. But why does our goodness never fail?
Because of his good work, his work of redemption on the cross. He's done it all. We talk about divine monergism. That is, in other words, it's not synergism. It's not something that we meet him halfway. It's not something that we contribute our part. No, he has done it all. He's done everything required for our salvation.
And so, therefore, we sing his praise within thy house forever. What does thy house refer to?
Well, I think of that passage, in my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions.
Exactly.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
So here we have a wonderful paraphrase of Psalm 23. What's interesting, what's the next hymn in the hymnal?
710, number 710, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. So you've got two hymns on facing pages. Both are based on the 23rd Psalm. That's a beloved. In fact, that's probably my favorite hymn for Good Shepherd Sunday. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
And why do you like that more than The King of Love, My Shepherd Is?
I don't know. I think it's maybe it's the melody. It's just one. I think it's one that I remember using for more years than the other. The other one is very good, of course, and it's very rich in theology, but I don't remember singing that as much as I remember singing The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. I remember that from my youth. And it's such a versatile hymn. It could be used, you know, any Sunday, especially like for the closing hymn. It could be used at funerals. It's a beautiful hymn. Very memorable hymn. It brings the tears flowing sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you why you like it. It's not the melody. The words are exactly from Psalm 23.
Yes. Yes, they are.
It's not a paraphrase.
No. But there's nothing wrong with a paraphrase either, is there, Tom?
No. It just magnifies what Jesus really meant.
Yes.
In giving Psalm 23, Luke 15, and also John chapter 10, where he talks about himself being the shepherd. That's really important. In fact, John 10, I am the good shepherd. And it talks about him dying on the cross.
I lay down my life for the sheep, he says. I lay down my life for the sheep. Yes.
Right. But hymn 710, if you read it, it's almost a direct translation of Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
The Lord my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. See, that really does make sense.
Yes.
What comforts us
his
is the cross
staff.
Of Christ.
Yes, the cross of Christ, right.
Then read verses 4 and 5.
My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. What a wonderful hymn. Beautiful hymn.
Yeah. We're not really sure who wrote it. It talks about the Psalms of David in meter. 1650 out of Edinburgh. But it is more of a Calvinistic interpretation, not being a paraphrase, but it's almost like reading the psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we enjoy it, because in confirmation, we memorize a lot of things. And Psalm 23 is usually one of those passages we memorize.
Yeah, and you can always be fairly safe, like at a funeral, if you don't have the words printed out, many people still know it by heart.
Exactly. All right, thanks so very much for helping us with The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, the paraphrase by Henry Baker. Tomorrow, we will continue with more Law and Gospel. Until then, I'm Tom Baker, and that was Mark Smith. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.